Hey, everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on April 25th. It's almost May, I'm very happy to say. Okay, and 2022, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. We got one of my favorite school districts on. Dr. Peter Finch runs with his loyal faculty and staff and team, I might add, runs the West Valley School District number 208 in Yakima, Washington. And Peter's been on many times before. Today we're going to talk about their new the West Valley Innovation Center, which is all about CTE. And joining Peter will be Russ Tooman, who actually has this great title, Director of Student Experience. I think he might be the principal. We'll find out. Okay? And then also we've got Davina Khan, one of their excellent computer science teachers with us. So it's going to be a nice conversation about this new innovation center, which they are very proud of. So we're going to spread the word and let you all know how it's working, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website, American Consortium for Equity and Education, ACE-ED.org. And over there you can see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's our online journal. We'll have a new one up there next week. Okay, you have a link to our teacher retention website. Our new thing, which we're very concerned about, is teacher-retention.com, but there's a new link over there, and also over seltoday.org. Plus, we archive all these podcasts over there as well. We're real concerned about all this stuff going on in education, and we're looking for great innovative stuff, and we've got it today, so please check out over at ace-ed.org for all the stuff we do. And now let's find all the stuff that West Valley's doing. I'll go with Peter first, Dr. Peter Finch first. Sorry, Peter Finch first. Hi, Peter. How you doing today? It's Larry here.
Hey, we're doing great. We're doing great.
Good.
It's finally spring here in the Yakima Valley. It's beautiful weather.
Make me jealous.
And we're really excited to share with you about the West Valley Innovation Center. It's just an amazing place for kids. It's project-based learning. It's also standards-based, so it's related to the standards. It's mastery-based, where kids can go at their own pace. So there's no failures on that campus. They're just continuing to work towards the standards. It's cohort-based. We have multi-age cohort of kids that are right now grades 7 through 9 together, multi-age. And then next year we're going to add 10 through 12. And then also it's a career pathway. So we have computer science cohort, a health science cohort, and STEM engineering cohort. And next year we're going to add robotics and agri-science. And it's just amazing, very exciting place to be. The teachers are called designers because they work with students to design the projects.
I love that.
And then, of course, the director of student experience, Russ Tooman, is just an amazing educator and an amazing leader, and has brought together partners from the community and our business partners, and it's all focused on student success, and that's what we're seeing at the Innovation Center.
And it's great, and I got to tell you, also in this day and age, it's very important, and I love the kids, that the teachers have great success and great enjoyment in their work, too. And it's always fun to do something new, and I just think it's great. Hi, Russ. Larry here. How you doing?
Doing really well. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, so do you feel like you're the principal, or do you feel like you're the director of student experience?
I feel like I'm a little bit of both, but yes, I'm
there. You go.
A principal is a pretty familiar role with me. That's where I was previously. So, but yes, also the director of student experience too.
And by the way, let me say hi to Davina. Hi, Davina. It's Larry here.
Hello. Hi, Larry.
How are you? How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you very much.
And Larry,
how are
Larry,
you?
That's the amazing Davina Khan. That's why I always.
I know it is.
She's the amazing Davina Khan.
The amazing Davina Khan, I got to tell you something, which is so cute, okay? We do training, and we did a training for West Valley, okay, which was fun. And Davina was one of the teachers involved. And whenever you do a training with teachers, teachers are the ones who are always asking kids to please participate. And then you do a training with teachers, and it's hard to get people to participate. It's so funny, okay, just human nature. And Davina was one who stood out and really participated. You were great, Davina. I wanted to tell you that.
Oh, thank
okay?
you.
Okay? It was just it's fun to watch the human nature, okay, just the way it all works out, et cetera. And you were just wonderful to have in that group. We'll talk about it later, okay, at the amazing Davina Khan. Okay.
That's
Russ,
right.
Okay, you know, all kidding aside, you have this new title. You were a principal, where the principal is your pal. And now you're the director of Hugh Student Experience. But you look at that, and just talk about the way you – does that change the way you're really going to run this place with a different title? Talk about that.
Well, I think it really brings it to a focus in terms of that this is an experiential learning campus, right? So my job is to help get those correct experiences in front of our designers and our students. So yeah, it's a change, and that's, you know, starts. We work, like Dr. Finch mentioned, we are working with our community partners who have been fantastic about this and designing real world experiences for our students so that they can become graduated as problem solvers.
Well, exactly.
And
also,
let's have Russ share about when Russ talks to community partners about this campus.
Yep.
Russ, share what the community partners always say.
Go for it, Russ.
More often than not, well, one, they're always thrilled to talk to us, but two, they're like, well, when you describe your school, that's the only school I've ever heard of that makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're like, you're teaching kids skills that they're going to need the rest of their lives. So, yes. So that's always reaffirming to hear that. Yeah.
It's really not good news, but it's great news. Okay? I mean, it's really funny when you think about it, you know, and we really do try out there. We always talk about this career and college and career ready, though I can drop the college part, just call it career ready as far as I'm concerned. And if you go to college, it'll be, you don't. Okay, but that's really an amazing statement right there. And it's the kind of thing. As we come out of the pandemic, everything's changed, okay? And we got to really look at new and different things, different ways to do this. You know, it's that simple. And this is just one of them. And, Russ, I want to ask you a question. You said, Peter said it was 7, 8, 9. Did he say that, Peter?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This year. Yeah.
7, 8, and 9. Where will those kids stay? How's the school shake out in the – do they go back to their regular school during the day, or are they at the Innovation Center all the time? And if they're in 7, 8, and 9, do they go to a high school that's different from what they're experiencing now? I'll ask Russ, and then we'll go on from there. Russ, talk about that stuff.
Sure. Well, we're still kind of shaking that all out, but really,
that's all right. Yeah.
They're here all day. So this is their school. They will eventually, if they stay here, as a senior, they will graduate from the Innovation Center. So, like,
cool.
In my three cohorts of computer science, health science, and STEM engineering, the ninth graders that are in there this year will move up to the 10-12 program next year. So they'll have a different designer that teaches that program. And that's really geared towards building on those skills, but then also getting them out into the community as juniors, some, and seniors most, often not all, working on a registered apprenticeship.
Cool. Cool. And let me ask this. Davina is a lady. Okay. Davina, as you look at the school, how co-ed is everything over there?
Oh, it's actually amazing. When I got into the school last year, the first year, everything was obviously new for me, new experience. I haven't taught this way before. Come from a traditional school environment. It was a shift in my thinking, obviously. But now, April 2022, I feel like I should have done this all my life. And our classrooms are a great representation of what our school district demographics are. So we have a good mix of students from various demographics, various academic skill levels. It's a good mix of all kinds of students in one classroom, and it's so in that respect, it's pretty similar to what I taught. The only difference is here, the students are here out of an interest. So all the students I have in my cohort, the computer science and IT, are very interested in this pathway, and they want to pursue a college degree in that or a career in that right after high school. Yes, so you see the student engagement is totally at a different level than what I'm used to seeing.
And I want to get back to what you said at the beginning there, okay, which struck me that you were teaching one way, if I heard you correctly, and now you came into the Innovation Center, and it's a completely different experience. And
yes.
I want you to just kind of what is the difference between the experiences? I'm going to say it two ways. How are you teaching differently? But the other way to say it is, how are the kids learning differently under your guidance? So,
okay.
Whichever way. So, yeah.
So, as you know, my title is designer. It's not teacher anymore.
Congratulations,
so,
new title. I like it.
Thank you.
Like it. Yeah.
So we are designing lessons from scratch, obviously, but also designing lessons with our students. And so students have enough time in their day to spend learning and creating projects in their primary area of interest. So we've seen greater student engagement and ownership of their learning this way.
Nice.
And because they're with their peers in their cohort the entire year, they build a family. And so there's a built-in support system, camaraderie. We see students helping each other without being asked to, taking on leadership roles, and participating in designing their student experiences. So here I'm sitting. I have this amazing curriculum, and I hang out with my students, and we come up with all these amazing ideas on how we can take this learning forward and incorporate real life. And then we also have our community partners, like Russ said. So we know what they want from graduates. We know what they want 12th graders to know if they're coming in to get a job. So we are now tailoring this academic curriculum towards that, and the kids are helping out with it. And so if the kids were interested, you know, computer science and IT is a very vast field, and there's tons of different careers you could go into, tons of different interests within that cohort. So students who are interested in video game design can have their projects tailored around that passion. Students who are interested in programming can have their projects designed around that passion. So because of that, students are invested in it. They're excited because it appeals to them, and it doesn't seem like a chore or a check mark on their day.
It doesn't seem like school.
And Larry,
and
if I could
wait,
also share.
I'm going to ask, how many kids are we talking about at the Innovation Center? Peter.
We can
there's about 30 to 32 in each of the cohorts. And the other thing is about the student experience in the school day is that they're in the cohort of their interest all year long in the morning. Then they have some flex time midday where they can get lunch, and they can also work on their projects, and they can do online learning on just, you know, individualized, personalized, whatever their interest is for an online elective. And then in the afternoon, they rotate through the other cohorts, so they're getting all the learning standards. So for the students in Davina's cohort pathway in the morning, computer science, in the afternoon, they're still getting their health science, which means they're getting their PE credit from, because we still got to work it into mastery-based learning where they get credits from the state, right, on the standardized transcript.
Of course.
So they can get their PE credit, their health credit, nutrition, biology, science credit. So it's an integrated approach. And the students, even in computer science, they're still getting in the afternoon an opportunity to work their way through the standards of the other requirements for graduation.
And let me just stay with me, Peter. And I'm just curious about the social studies, history.
Mm-hmm.
When do they do that? How do they do that? How does that fit
in?
Well,
they're getting that through.
Just ask.
We have a good, a great learning partner is Chris Nesmith. He's now superintendent of the Elma School District, but he was with us previously and really helped Russ and the other teachers to design the program. So Chris went on this Washington State team that went to Switzerland and Germany and looked at the registered apprenticeship programs there. And what he brought back is that you can still teach social studies through this work-based idea, but it's a different approach.
That.
It's basically, you take a look at here's the workplace. Here's what the laws are for the workplace. Okay, how do these laws get into place? So it's more like this administrative code. Where does the administrative code come from? Well, you have to look at the revised code of Washington, the RCWs. How does that become a law? and then you're off and running with civics and how does a bill become a law and government and just all of that. But it's a different entry point into learning about social studies.
And how was that – I'm going to ask this right. How would Ross, I'll ask you this. How was that kind of thing – I'm just harping on social studies because I used to teach it, so – okay. But how does the teacher, the designer, okay, at your innovation center – learn how to do that? How's that built into what they're doing? And I'm just curious because, you know why I'm curious. Go ahead.
Well, sure. So we have another teacher, Audience Smarter, our competency designer, and so she's helping track our students towards their standards and making sure that students are on track if they can be, like if that's the pace they want to be at. So she kind of oversees the student progress on that. So she works with the designers to help create lesson plans and ideas that can check that box. And then next year we'll have another entrepreneurship teacher here that we've hired for next year that we're really excited to have on board.
Cool.
And his class is a CTE class as well, but it'll be all about what Dr. Finch just described. So kids will study within their own pathway. Yeah, they'll have a variety of options, but they can certainly look at, like, well, I mean, we're definitely in a ag is a huge part of our economy here. So the history of ag in the Yakima Valley is also Washington State history, right? So that's going to check the box for that. So that evolution of that
that
industry and all the outgrowths from that. And, I mean, that lets you get into things like water rights and all the things that are really, really important here in the Valley. But they're also, I mean, there's laws behind all that, and a lot of people don't really understand that. So there's avenues to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, and I do like what you're doing. Nothing happens in engineering. Nothing happens in computer work. Nothing happens in STEM, okay? That doesn't affect society. And
right.
If students and the kids don't understand, you're not just doing it to build a robot to walk in a circle around the room, okay? There's a reason for doing something. That's going to have an effect later on, okay? And that when I say, you know, all this is interdisciplinary, to me, it has to be, so kids understand why they're doing it, okay? And I got to ask this question. What do you have, Russ, about 90 kids there or 110 or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got 110 kids, and I'm curious. I don't know if you can answer this, or I'll ask you, but you can swing it over to Peter or whatever if you want. Okay. Were there any kids who are in the school now who are doing well, who were really having trouble elsewhere, you know, that their interest wasn't peaked, they weren't as engaged as they should be, their interest was elsewhere, and now it's focused for them, okay? They're excited about school. Talk about that kind of kid.
Well, that's just been really exciting. So there are multiple examples, so I couldn't just pick one. From a variety of, someone who's maybe a little bit on the spectrum and has some sensory issues and just being in a spot where they're dialed in with their cohort. And like Dr. Finch mentioned, those cohorts have really evolved into very tight groups of kids. They support each other. You know, sometimes there's, I mean,
that's
it's not always great all the time, but I mean, to the point
kids.
Where we had an open house and I had a parent walk down, come right up to me, and I thought he was upset, and he pointed at me and he said, "Don't change a thing about this school ever." And I've never had anybody say that to me.
Wow. Hey, congratulations.
Add a couple of things? So had some of my students who I have this year, I've had them before when I taught at the other school. And they followed me here, and a couple of those kids are on the spectrum. And I've seen their behavior change this year incredibly, and the work that they're producing is incredible. We had parent conferences last month, and their parents had tears seeing the progress that they've made because of the supports that we have tied into the way the cohort works and students helping each other out. And just the fact that there's no stress put on them, they don't have deadlines as such. They can work at their pace. They can get extra help. They can get a peer to tutor them if they're not understanding how to do something. We have that time built in where we can do all of those amazing creative things. So, yes, we have seen students do a lot better here, students who are struggling at the regular school.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yes. So my next question is a good one. Superintendent Finch, okay, you know what you are in the process of developing and have developed there at the Innovation Center. You know it works, okay? Now, we're talking about the 90 kids who are there and in this program, or with 100, whatever it is. How many kids are in the district total, Peter?
5,000.
Okay, that's a lot of kids. That's 4,900 kids extra. Okay, you take what you've learned here. How do you, and you must be thinking about this because great minds think like I do, Peter, and I know you've got a great mind. Okay, so you're having all this success here, okay, and you are. And I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you apply that, okay, to what, and I'm sure your other schools are terrific. Please don't misunderstand the question, but just talk about what, take what you learned there and apply it there. Those other teachers might be a little bit jealous.
Well, I do think, you know, to me, the best thing on that campus is no kids labeled a failure. I just look at education. And what I just, as I've grown as an educator, I just keep thinking, like, what are we doing telling, like, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds? I mean, that's such a developmentally important time for kids. And we're going to label them an F, a failure. I just think we got to find another way. And so in West Valley, we have a badge book at the elementary level that we've been working on for quite a few years now. We've got that in place for pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, and we're piloting second grade, and we'll work on development of it next year at third grade. And that is where students are working at their own pace through the standards and having support from the teacher. And it's really turned into something very positive where when the kid's ready to show what they know, they tell the teacher and they pass the assessment, and then usually the teacher, like, rings a bell in class, and their classmates give a hand, and, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to see. So we are having this mastery-based learning in place already in West Valley at the elementary grades. At our mid-level campus, we're working on developing this mastery-based learning as well, and someone had mentioned about Dean Smart. She actually presented to our teachers at the mid-level campus recently about the learning management system that we're using at the Innovation Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
going to
have some early adopters to adopt that at the mid-level campus next year and start working on that. At the high school, I think you had heard about registered apprenticeship and getting kids into the workplace and having them, you know, guided with on-the-job training. We currently have that in place, and we do have kids that are getting high school credit, college credit, and an hourly wage. We have seniors that are making up to $30,000 a year their senior year because they start in the summer for their senior year.
Isn't that great?
And they work their way.
That's great.
Yeah, we have these partnerships with some of the aerospace companies that are around the Yakima Airport, and they're contractors for Boeing. And so they're right here in Yakima, and we have kids doing the registered apprenticeship. So we are looking to expand that, and the Aerospace Joint Apprenticeship Committee has added staff to their statewide network, and one of those staff members they added to develop more registered apprenticeship opportunities for kids, one of those staff members is located at the Innovation Center in West Valley. So we have a close partnership with AJAC, and we're continuing to expand those internships. One of the recent ones is called Automated Technician. I always get confused because I think of automotive, but Automated Technician. That's all the automation that's happening in the fruit warehouses here in the Yakima Valley, and this is amazing. And there's these huge warehouses, and there's hardly any people in there. It's all automated with
We have the same robots, thing on this coast with fish, the big fish warehouses.
It's amazing.
You know, the place,
but all
the size
those robots,
of three football fields, and there's two people working there. Yeah.
Exactly. The same thing here. But all those robots need a technician, and they also said they run 24/7. If the robots break down too often, they need a new technician to keep them running. So that's, we're preparing our kids to be those technicians. And then now in the fruit industry, they're planting the apple trees on a trellis, like you would maybe see like a grape vine be planted on a trellis. And the reason they're doing that is to make it real accessible so that the robots, probably in the next 10 years,
oh my
the robots
God.
Will be able to pick the fruit And again, those robots are going to need technicians, and that's what we're preparing our students for the future.
Welcome to the Terminator, ladies and gentlemen. The robots are taking over. Okay? It's really just amazing when you think about it, which brings up, you know, you're, and I guess I'll go back to Russ on this one. Russ, you know, when you talk to the kids, and you live in, Yakima is a beautiful place, and Central Washington and all that, do the kids want to stay there? When they get older, is their view, I want to stay here, or do they want to go on to Seattle and L.A.? And what's
yeah,
the
I,
describe
I
the community, you know, agriculture, which is all wonderful, by the way. Please don't misunderstand. What's the attitude of the kids?
I don't,
staying there?
I mean, I've been a middle-level principal and teacher for most of my career, so that high school where they're making that choice has really not been something I've been super involved in. Although I can tell you, I have a sense that most kids are ready to go. Like they're ready to go somewhere else. And the exciting thing is when we go out and work with our community partners, they're like, we need kids to know that there's a better than a living
there.
Wage job available for them
right
here that they could,
that's
you know,
right. That's what
and,
I'm driving at.
And yeah. And beyond that. So that hopefully
yeah.
having that pathway and doing that, or even, if they leave to go to college, that they come back, and we actually have one of our
exactly.
registered apprentices that started a while ago, who worked with our community partner PEXCO as a registered apprentice, and has gone to WSU to get his mechanical engineering, I believe, degree, and is coming back to PEXCO.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. That's terrific. Go ahead, Peter. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's happening is there's more virtual offices happening. We have parents that work for Microsoft, which is, you know, based over in Redmond in the Seattle area, but they're living here and working virtually. And we really need to get back to the amazing Davina Khan, because you had talked about equity. She has
right. I love her.
Worked with Ignite Worldwide, which is an organization to encourage young women to explore STEM education. And Davina
great.
Has all these connections with all the big wigs. She's got Google, Amazon, Microsoft. I would like to hear more, because she, every time I turn around, she's doing something new and getting another award. So maybe Davina could talk a little bit about Ignite Worldwide.
Yeah, and by the way, Davina, just so you know, I just want to mention, because Peter did say this, the GeekWire STEM Educator of the Year Award, Ignite Worldwide Changemaker Award, Microsoft Certified Educator, Google Certified Educator, and adjunct faculty over at Central Washington University. And in your spare time, go ahead, Davina, talk about all this.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. But
congratulations, by the way. That's all wonderful.
You.
You're something.
Thank you so much.
You're a pimp.
Thank
you're
you.
Something.
We have a
yeah.
wonderful support system here at the district where these directors with interesting titles, they help bring out the best in their teachers and make sure that we are thriving and we have, I think what's important is having that vision. I feel like my vision is so much in sync with the district vision, which is to bridge that gender gap that we see in STEM courses. So for example, right now in our engineering cohort, there's only 3 girls and 27 boys. So that is a very sore spot for me. It hurts me when I think of that. And in my computer science class, we have an equal number of girls and boys. So I'm happy about that part. But when we see this gender gap, I keep thinking, what are we doing wrong? Why are we not exciting and motivating enough girls to, why are they afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have,
yeah.
do they lack mentorship? Do they lack role models? And then we have Ignite Worldwide. So Ignite Worldwide is based out of Seattle. It's in many different countries. So we are a chapter. We've been a chapter for several years. And what we do through Ignite is hook up our female students and our non-binary students to companies like Google and Amazon and Facebook. And we're located in this fantastic city, Yakima, that is so well connected
yeah.
with Seattle. So we're able to actually go on field trips or virtual tours or workshops with these companies. And the girls can actually see professionals who have similar
yeah.
backgrounds or stories being successful in these fields. So they get motivated, they get inspired. And that has really helped a lot of our underrepresented students to feel like they can belong to the STEM world, that they can actually break those barriers and stereotypes and get out there, and they'll do fine. And it shouldn't be a male-dominated industry, and it will not be.
That's right.
We're working hard, and we can already see a change. We've been doing that a lot. And another really great initiative that we've done with our Ignite team is put together adult classes, which are starting next month. We do this. We actually have done this before, but then COVID happened, so we had to had a pause in that. But our goal is to every year provide technology education classes to our West Valley community. So we are this year going to be having classes for English-speaking adults and then for Spanish-speaking adults. And our students are the ones who are going to be teaching. So this is another really great community service activity that is going to help bridge that gap and also train our students, also help them build relationships with another generation. It's just a very beautiful setup. This is just another one of the efforts that we're doing in our district.
It's a beautiful thing, I got to tell you, and everything you said is so dead on accurate. And we just got to keep doing that. There are a lot of places to go, girls in STEM and all that sort of stuff. But let me say it better. You're the role model. You're a great role model.
Okay. I hope so.
You don't have to go to Seattle. Yep. You can look in the Acumen, look in the mirror. You want a good role model, look in the mirror.
Right.
You guys. That could be scary. I'm talking about Davina looking in the mirror.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to end in a few minutes, but I do want to ask one thing, and I don't know who to ask. I think it might be Davina, okay? The Central Washington App Challenge, not Apples, that's Apple Country, App Challenge, okay?
Yes.
Is that you, Davina? Did you want to talk about that,
yes.
How the kids are involved?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So this is the Congressional App Challenge. And the Congressional App Challenge is one of the most prestigious prizes in student computer science. And it is an official initiative of the U.S. House of Representatives. So this year, or rather it was like end of last year, three students from our school, Andrew Modine, Torin Rausch, and Tyler Iverson, were the winners in Washington's 4th District. So these students were inspired. When the challenge came about, I asked my students if they would like to participate. Actually, I pushed them to participate. And so these three students formed a group, and they were inspired by the realization that many teenagers have unhealthy habits, including lack of sleep. And so they were like, what can we do to help students of our age? So they created an app called Beating Heart Health, and some of the features on the app are a sleep calculator, a health checklist, and a music player, and a compliment generator, which is really, really adorable. So you log into the app, and it gives you a really nice compliment. It makes you feel good. So they use JavaScript and some few other schools and tools, and they built the app in just a few days. Their plans are to add more features. They want to add more features such as a nutrition tracker, hydration tracker, some resources, and make the app available for iPhones and Androids eventually.
Right.
And once it's done, and believe me, it will be done. It will be available to all our students. Yeah, for free.
Larry, the school had only been open a couple months, and these eighth graders won the Congressional App Challenge. I keep thinking, what's going to happen when they become seniors? Well, probably just
my
someday.
I think I said, watch out for those robots taking over the world. Watch for one walking down the street here. Unbelievable, guys. This is great. Hey, everybody, we got to go. You want to learn more. It's West Valley School District 208, right?
That's right. That's us.
Yakima, Washington. And this is a terrific district. I labeled this show an innovative school district's new innovation center. Okay, it's innovative on innovative on innovative. Okay, and I tell you, you guys are just doing great. So, Russ, Davina, you guys are in heaven. Have fun. Okay, enjoy yourselves in heaven. And, Peter, just keep up the good work, my friend. We'll be in touch. Okay, this is
Thanks
great.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Thank you so much,
everybody,
for having us.
Oh, our pleasure. Believe me. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, all the way to Yakima, Washington, everybody from Maine, little Cornish, Maine. All right, great, folks. Okay, and again, it's West Valley School District 208. You can Google it. This is really cool stuff. All right, and Peter's a great superintendent. He's got a great team around him. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. Check it out. All right, all the stuff we do. Pop on the links. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.